The school is out, which means it's time for Hi Kids.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hi Kids Show. This is Hi Kids, for kids, by kids. Hi Kids! My name is Priya Katz and I'm 11 years old. Coming up on Hi Kids today, Benjamin Collenberg, an architect. What do architects do? So stay tuned to 101.9 and you will find out soon. Here are the details if you have any questions for my guest, or if you just want to say hi to your friends and family. The SMS number is 34519 and is charged at 1 rand 50. You can send me a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. And please don't forget to sign your name. You can also call us on 010-140-3020. I repeat, 010-140-3020. Get ready for a very interesting show on Hi Kids today.
You're listening to Hi Kids on 101.9 Hi FM.
This is Hi Kids, for kids, by kids. My name is Maria Katz and I'm 11 years old. I have Benjamin Collenberg in studio with me. So send your questions to 34519. Or WhatsApp to 061-895-1019. Good afternoon.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon.
Hello. Okay, what is an architect?
So an architect, I guess, would be an expert in the creation of space or the use of space. So it really comes down to professionally building and or designing houses and designing renovations to houses and other buildings, as well as thinking of ways to use space and new ways to use space.
So do you design the interior as well?
Usually. Well, it all depends on the project, but in my own personal projects anyway, I usually would design the exterior as well as the interiors.
Oh, wow. Okay. What is the difference between an interior architect and just a normal architect?
So I think it definitely depends on the extent to your role in the construction process. So an ordinary architect would begin. Typically speaking, the architect would begin at the beginning with the design and a concept phase for the building. They would design it. They'd then consult with a variety of professionals, and an interior architect would be one of them that then joins the team, and then they would typically. Would be involved in the design of the interior space, unless, and this also depends on the scale of the project. The architect does the design of the interior space as well. So it depends project by project, whose role that would be.
And do architects only design buildings and houses, or also bridges, things like bridges?
I think more and more, especially in today in a contemporary society, but architects are designing more and more. So it's from houses to offices to hotels or art galleries, and then also on the other side to bridges and even infrastructure nowadays. I mean, water towers and telecommunication towers historically, but I think it's really, the profession's really opening up and becoming more diverse.
What does architects' training involve?
So it's quite a lengthy university process, to be perfectly honest, but it's split up into two phases. So there's the undergrad degree, which is the first 3 years, and that would be you'd get one degree at the end of that, and then typically speaking you would do a year of experience after that where you intern in an office, really to get real life experience and learn how the profession functions in reality. After that you'd come back for another 2 years. And this area, it kind of varies from university to university, but usually it's either an honors year and a master's year, or it's two master's years, or combined honors and master's 2 years, which you'll then have to complete. And thereafter you work again and get experience in certain areas of the profession. And after that you can take a professional exam to become a proper architect. And that's typically for 2 years after you finish your master's. So essentially, it's 3 years of studying, 1 year of working, 2 years of studying, and then 2 years of working before you can take that final exam.
Oh, wow. So it's quite a long process.
It is quite long, but it's quite nice that it's also broken up in between with the working years, where you do earn money and you do get a bit of... It's a change of responsibility and change of, I don't know, education, I guess.
So what would you design more? A building, like a theatre, or a school, or a house?
So it all completely depends where you're working and at what size the office is. But, I mean, when I started working, I was typically... I mean, I was actually working for a firm that mostly designed art galleries. So they were designing galleries and a couple of hotels and offices. But after I finished with that firm, since I've been on my own, or since I've started my own thing, we've been mostly working on houses. And I think it definitely depends on the scale. At the moment, there's just two of us in the office. And before, there was about 10 or 12 of us. So it does depend on what work you get or what work you can take on.
And if you're building a house, is it essential to have an architect?
I think it is. Well, it is essential. I guess for two reasons, or three reasons. The first being that it's illegal not to. But more than that, there's like a couple of rules and requirements that are given in order to build houses. And I think this is what's divided into two different categories. And I think that... the first is for safety and security. I mean, an example of this is the height of balustrades or the way stairs are constructed. And little things that, I mean, the way a wall is waterproof to make sure that it remains stable and safe. And the other thing is the way people fit into the space. So the stairs a certain height that you can walk up. So there's those two factors. The one is the security and stability. And the other one is the comfort and... the way you can actually use it and how user-friendly the space actually lands up being. And obviously I'm going to tell you that it's essential for an architect to be present in the building of a house, but I really do think it is.
I didn't know that it was illegal to build without an architect. That's so interesting.
Yeah, so I think it's also, the council has certain requirements that you have to fulfill in order to get anything built. And you actually, before you start building, you're supposed to submit a set of drawings to council to be approved, and then and you, in theory, you're not allowed to build without that approval, and that usually is the architect's role to submit and to design what's going to be new.
Yeah, so it's much safer to build with an architect because they know how to design things.
Yeah, and I think also just practically speaking I think it's just because of the experience in construction. I mean, if an architect works on three or four houses a year, they've got that past experience, and it's the project's far more likely to waste, far less likely to waste money, and far more likely to use the space as efficiently or as practically as possible.
If you're doing a renovation, do you need an architect as well?
In theory, you do, and you do. I think it's. I really do believe that it also depends the extent of the renovations. I think if you're changing a couple of doors and repainting the walls and maybe, then it's not as necessary. But I do definitely think it can have a really positive impact, and especially once you start with the structure, with changing a wall or removing the roof or putting another story or something like that, then it really is hugely beneficial, and I think you do need an architect.
And what would happen if you built a skew wall? Like it lent a little bit too in or a little bit too out?
So it lands up being a safety hazard in case it falls over, I guess. So it's obviously there's a number of ways to anchor a wall or to support the wall. And if it's not done properly, it's likely that it will weaken over time and will fall over and really cause some damage to the first of all to the house, but also it's dangerous for the people living in it or on the other side of the wall. And that's true for walls in the house as well as a boundary wall on the side of the road and the street side. And everything, it lands up. That's the potential repercussions, I guess, or the potential problems in not building these things properly.
And I'm just thinking now, you probably wouldn't be able to put a door in if the wall was built skew.
Exactly. As soon as things aren't perfectly...
Straight
or aligned or as they're supposed to be, it becomes very difficult to also put furniture in that room. I mean, you wouldn't be able to put a cupboard up against that wall because there'd be a gap in the floor or there'd be a gap above it. And I think I think that's actually also another reason that the architect is important in the renovations, is to make sure that things are completed as they were designed, or things are completed as they were wanted to be, as they were envisaged or as they were seen to be, yeah.
What type of clients do you get?
So at the moment, I'm also studying part-time. Well, I'm working part-time because I'm studying, and we really aren't taking on major projects. So we've essentially got two clients, and they've come through people that we work with, and the builders. One of the projects we brought to a builder that we work with, and the next client he brought to us. So we're doing one family home, and another game reserve, which is also, it was a similar client that was opening up a private game reserve. So I think what lands up happening is that the clients, that becomes a bit of a community or a bit of a, there are these connections, and that's how we get clients anyway.
Wow, okay. And if you want to become an architect, do you need maths?
I think so. It certainly will make it easier. And you also certainly can get around it, but without a doubt make you a better architect and make your life easier. And you're definitely going to be using the maths, whether you, I imagine you're asking if you need to do maths in school or if you need to do maths, to study maths. And I think, it helps so, so much, because it does just give you that understanding of, quantities, as well as that relationship between, for example, 10 meters and how many windows can fit in that 10 meters. It's that real life becomes a sum or an equation in architecture.
Yes, I think maths also helps with a lot of different things.
Mm.
Maths you need for a lot of jobs.
Yeah. Even just to do it efficiently, I mean, in architecture, also you're trying to get the best product for the cheapest price. So you kind of need to know the repercussions of how much things cost, and if you do this as opposed to if you do that, what the difference will be. And it all comes from the understanding of maths.
Yes. Does an architect need geometry?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're constantly using geometry without even realizing it. So, whereas you might not be writing down a Pythagoras equation, you're certainly using the understanding of the equation to figure out the pitch of the roof, how steep the roof should be so that the rain falls off it, for example. Or it's almost the information of geometry is almost embedded in what you do, and you don't even realize you're using it. But I do think you need it.
What was that equation that you said?
Sorry, it's called Pythagoras.
Pythagoras. What is that?
It's when you've got two. When you've got, if you know the length of two lines, you can figure out the third to make a triangle. So it's just to figure out the angles of the triangle and the length of the triangle, which is very, which is stuff that you do in maths without, very theoretical in maths, but it translates to becoming quite a practical reality in architecture, when you need to figure out how much material you need, for example, for the wall, which would be one line, the floor, which would be another line, and the roof, which could be the third line. So it actually, it lands up communicating without you even realizing.
A lot of things happen without you realizing, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And do you need art to be an architect?
Again, you don't need it, but it certainly makes it easier. And I think it's something that you need to be able to understand. So even if you haven't had past experience with it, you'll be able to overcome that, but it'll be far more difficult, because at the end of the day, the architect's role is to communicate a vision or to communicate a design, and the way you do that is graphically. You do it with drawings and with and if you can't communicate what you want a builder to build with drawings, he's going to build the wrong thing. So at the end, so that's why that art, that being able to draw and being able to see something before it exists, really makes it's really important in architecture.
Yeah, you have to be able to make a dream into reality.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, let's take a quick break with a song, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Hi Kids on 101.9 Hi FM.
This is Hi Kids, for kids, by kids. My name is Maria Katt, and I'm 11 years old. Now, let's carry on with the questions.
Perfect.
Okay, what do you love most about your job?
earlier you actually mentioned that idea of making a dream into a reality, and this really that really excites me. I think, and it can be as simple as the way a door opens, or it can be as grand as a new facade of a 20-story building. But it's you have this silly idea that you sometimes maybe have in your sleep, or you wake up and think you have solved the problem, and testing things out and seeing it being built around you, I find absolutely fantastic. It's so exciting, and you also learn, obviously always learning from your mistakes and learning how to do things different and better. But it's really that combination between the real and the imaginary I find fantastic. It's really very exciting.
It's incredible. You like, you see a house built and you're like, hey, that was me. I designed that. That was like, I made that house.
Exactly. It's amazing. It's very exciting that.
Yes, it's so cool. You said something about a facade.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know what that means.
Sorry. So a facade would be the wall or the window or the, I guess it's the envelope of the building. What determines the inside and the outside. We would call a facade.
And what don't you like about your job?
Sure, I really do love architecture. I don't know. I think that especially nowadays in the architectural profession, there's lots of, after the last 20 years, there's been these movements towards something called brute force, which is really just architecture firms employing as many people as possible who work as hard as possible to create as many alternatives that they then find the real one. And I think it's created quite a bad trend in architecture that that the most is expected for the least amount of money, maybe, or that that people are just expected to work until
they drop.
To work until to the bone, exactly. And I don't think it's a bad thing that people work so hard, and I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think it becomes a bit scary when it's demanded, or when it's just expected that you can't compete if you don't have a full office working 80 hours a week. And I think that's a bad trend. And it's also, architecture is very competitive, which is why these trends exist. When certain companies do this, everyone else has to in order to compete. Otherwise, if you can't do as good a building, you're not going to get any jobs.
Wow, it's quite sad, actually, eh?
Yeah.
And can you just describe your typical day for us?
So at the moment, I seldom have a typical day. But at the moment, I'm also studying. So at least for the rest of the year, I'll have a meeting once a week with my supervisor. I'd usually wake up, I'd get stuck into some work quite early on. Also, because I'm working on my own project with a partner, I work from home, so I'll often work for about an hour or two, then have breakfast, and then go back to my studio at home and carry on working. Every now and then, I'll have to go to Wits to meet with my supervisor, or alternatively, I'll go to site visits, or go to present, or have meetings with contractors on a project that I'm running, and it really, to be honest, it changes every day. In the beginning of the projects, we typically have a weekly meeting, and then that you just schedule it into your diary and you know exactly when it is, and it's once a week at the same time. But at the moment, I have no typical day or no recurring meetings, and there's often a disaster on site and you need to quickly pop in there that afternoon, and then you don't actually land up having the meeting that was scheduled for tomorrow because you went today. And at the moment, it's an extremely dynamic day, but I think that also is because we've started our own thing and we're still trying to figure it out, and we don't have any employees yet, so it's really finding the balance and putting in some time to figure it out.
Yes, okay. And how would you explain to someone what they're going to get if they're not architects?
So I really do think that this determines, this plays a huge role in determining what makes a good architect is being able to communicate and being able to not only talk to architects, because it's very easy to speak architecture and rattle on about facades, but it's actually a far more difficult skill to be able to communicate the vision or communicate the dream. And I think nowadays it's becoming easier and easier with the new programs, computer programs that we're using to design buildings, because you can pull out 3Ds and perspectives and even walkthroughs, that you can show someone on your computer what it's like to walk through their future house that hasn't been built yet.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's becoming quite amazing. And I think it's important to To show that to a client or to show that to the person you're working for, so that you have an agreement of what it should be or what it can be, as opposed to either the architect doing what the architect's vision is or the architect just fulfilling the client's vision. It's, you always have a far better result if there's a shared vision or shared aim.
Yes, definitely. Can you explain the different phases of the job?
Again, it depends on the scale or the kind of project, but what would usually happen is you start off in the like concept phase, where you're discussing ideas and you're trying to figure out what the right approach to the building would be, if it's going to be, the size and the scale and the materials, and that's really quite, we would say ephemeral, but that it's like the feelings, or it's how what the building does and what it makes you feel and how it works. Then you'd go into a design development phase, where you're actually producing drawings and speaking to different professionals. So you'd speak to the engineer to get his or her buy-in, and you'd speak to interior designers if they're on the project, or a variety
of plumbers
exactly, to use their input to actually make the project real, to bring it to reality. Then there'd be a working drawings or construction drawings, which you then take that project that you've now developed and you communicate it, and that's communicated in a way that a builder could read it and build it. So that's every dimension. So if you want the door half a meter away from the wall, you have to specify all those dimensions, all the details, and what the material is, and that then goes to council, in which would be where the city would approve, or the local province would approve the building. And then after that, then construction begins, and again it's lots of site visits and some more detail, lots of detailed drawings that you didn't realize you needed or that you hadn't done yet, and those the detailed design is then like how the window frame sits in the window hole, or the door handle works, and so you start off from really quite from the concept, from what the building feels like and what it does and what it says, to how to fix the door handle to the door. And then then after that you'd kind of close up, make sure that everything's complete, that the construction is finished, that there's no skew walls, or that the paint's even, and then you'd sign off and give it's called a completion certificate, which is when the project is finished.
Do you monitor the building process?
So you're definitely supposed to, because also in terms of the city council approving it, it's the architect's responsibility to then make sure that it is built how they said it was going to be built, or how the council approved it. So you do land up going to sites. Often you'll have like a weekly site visit, or you'll make a time that you land up going to meet with the builder and with the client, and maybe a few other professionals, maybe an engineer. And that's just to monitor the process and make sure that everything is right as it is. Because if it isn't, it would be very costly to find. I mean, it would be expensive to fix it afterwards. I mean, it's much quicker to fix it at the time that they're building than come at the end and they realize that this wall's skew. So they have to redo the wall, but then also redo the wall above it and redo all the paint. So much easier it's a much easier job for an architect to be present and realize what's happening with the building.
My teacher last year, she was building, and she said that they had to redo the one wall 7 times because they couldn't get the angle right.
Sure. That's hectic. So it's exactly that. It's so important to be there. Otherwise it's just become so much more difficult to get the angle right or to get the final product.
Yes, definitely. Do you design the drawings on computer?
So I do use the computer, and I do try to use the latest software, just because it just increases efficiency. It makes the process more productive and quicker to run. But at the same time, I still think there's a huge value in drawing by hand, and especially with sketches or with diagrams. And I think that each of the processes are valuable, and they're more valuable if they can work together. If you can then draw by hand when you're with the client and bring out the 3D perspective from the computer, and maybe even have a model. I think the different techniques are very valuable.
Okay, we have some SMSs. Okay, so let's see. Hello, Bria. Thank you for the amazing show today. I have a question for Mr. Collenberg. You said that art is very helpful for architecture. So does an architect draw the blueprint of the building? Thanks, Racheli Abrams.
So the architect would have drawn the blueprints. We don't actually make blueprints anymore, but essentially the architects would create all those drawings for the construction and for everything. So the architect would have to draw the blueprints, and maybe 40 years ago you'd land up, everything was by hand. You'd draw and you'd draw and you'd draw and you'd erase and you'd draw over what your drawings were. And it was often the drawings were like an artwork. And now it's drawing and it's lots of computer drawings, but you land up producing all those blueprints, all the drawings, to the documents to work from.
Okay, we have another one. It says, what is your favorite building in Joburg and in the world? From Andy.
It's a very difficult question.
I'm sure there are lots of buildings in the world.
Yeah. Sure. I think my favorite building in Johannesburg, and also, again, I've got lots of favorite buildings in Johannesburg, but I really love the Constitutional Court, because it's really, the way they built it was, I mean, it was at a time that they're trying to find a South African identity, and it's something very difficult to do, to find a South African identity of architecture, figure out where architecture is moving in a democratic South Africa. And what they did for the Constitutional Court is they involved quite a few architects, and there was a lot of collaboration and a lot of competition. And there must have been 30 or 40 or 50 different architects and architecture firms that worked on it, doing little pieces like the gate and the columns. And I think they really... and there's so much going on in that building that I guess some people don't like, but I think because there's so much going on, it's quite an amazing reflection of the time and what South African architecture could be.
Wow, 50 architects is a lot, eh?
Yeah. And then I guess in the world, the first thing that comes to mind is there's a new Philharmonic Orchestra, building in concert hall in Germany called the Elbe Philharmonie, which I think is just absolutely fantastic. It was by these two architects called Herzog and de Meuron, and they built this new concert hall on top of an old brick factory, which was such a strong building from carrying all the bricks, but no longer carried bricks. And what they did is they now took this 8-story building and made a public square of it, and made a public square on top of it, and pulled the public off the street before having this new concert hall media center above. And I think it was a new way of looking at public and private, and it's a beautiful building also.
I don't think I've ever seen it, or if I have seen it, I haven't taken notice of it, but it does sound amazing.
It's also relatively recent, which is maybe why it's on the top of my head, but it's a fantastic building. I think it's going to become quite famous or quite well known in years to come. I hope, anyway.
Do you think architecture enriches society? From Sue.
Definitely. I think architecture and architects can have such a serious impact on society, and it can be both positive and negative. But I think a conscious architect and designing through that conscious lens, I think can have a really incredible impact on society, and can definitely bring people together and begin engagement or discussions, or just open up the dialogue on difficult topics, which I think there's very few practices or professions that you can really start to talk about these very difficult issues in society. And I think architecture has the potential to start that dialogue, or to start that discussion.
Definitely. Here's another one. What do you love most, designing in your office or standing inside the spaces that you have designed? From Victoria.
Without a doubt, standing inside the spaces you've designed. It's completely overwhelming to walk into the space, especially while it's being built and while it's going up and while these things are happening. And then all of a sudden it's finished, and it feels like it takes forever to get to that last point. But in hindsight, it goes by in the blink of an eye, and then you're in the space that you've created. It's quite amazing. And I think it also comes from all those hours sitting in the office. But I definitely prefer that physical engagement when you're actually on site, when you're actually in the building, and you can feel and touch and see. I guess
as I said earlier, it's like you see this building, and it's like, I made this. I designed this. This is like what I did.
It comes from like a silly idea you had in your sleep, and then all of a sudden it's a new art gallery, I guess.
Okay, this is our last one for now. I just want to say I love listening to you. Thanks. Thank you, Mary XXX. Okay, thank you. Thank you to everyone who sent SMSs in. Okay, let's do a few more questions. So are you on the building site most of the time?
Unfortunately not. At least in my previous project and my current projects, I haven't been. And I think if you are on the building site most of the time, that's because there's been some unforeseen circumstance, unforeseen problems or disasters, or you've dug underground to start building a wall, and they found serious rocks, or you're trying to find a solution to a problem. So, although I do love being on site and working from site, usually if you're on site more than in your office, it's because of problems.
Okay, that's not good.
Yeah.
You don't want problems. As much as you want to be on the building site, you don't want problems.
Exactly. So you usually, other than for routine checkups, you're usually there to try and figure out and resolve issues like crooked walls or something like that.
Okay. Is architecture more of a mathematical or an art job?
I think it's, and this is also actually why I love architecture, but I really think it's somewhere in between. I think it's being able to take the artistic vision and make it, and I think you need maths to bring it to reality. You need the way of understanding physics and maths and quantities and even in some economics of how to make a building affordable and make sense. So I think it really, it's the perfect combination of art and maths, that it's creative maths or it's realistic art, I guess.
In
I don't
between.
Know. Yeah, exactly.
Cool. How can people contact you?
So you can contact me on, I can give you my email address. It's ben@collectivestudioafrica. So that's the firm I recently opened. It's Collective Studio Africa is all one word, no spaces or anything in between, and just ben@collectivestudioafrica.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on Kha Kids and teaching us more about architecture. It sounds like an awesome job and I really learned a lot.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure. Thank you to my guest for coming on Kha Kids, and thank you to my producer Mandy and DJ Flo for pushing the big red buttons. Join us tomorrow for another Kha Kids show, only on 101.9 Kha FM. This has been Kha Kids, for kids, by kids!